Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Trana. Thank you so much for listening. I don't need to sell this episode. We have Charles Barkley. And Charles says it all about the future of Inside the NBA and TNT possibly, likely losing the NBA. And following Charles, we have Sal Licata and Train of Thought. So I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to get right into it. Just tell you quickly, if you missed last week's episode, also from TNT, we had Kevin Harlan on the program 2 weeks ago. NFL VP of Broadcast Planning Mike North was on to discuss the 2024 NFL schedule. Katie Nolan was on a few weeks ago to discuss the Tom Brady roast as well. So if you've missed any of those, go listen to them. Subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trana. Leave a review on Apple and rate the podcast. All right, let's get right into it. Charles Barkley followed by Train of Thoughts. All right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Trana. All right, joining me now, second time on the SI Media podcast, and what a time to have him. He is from TNT, Inside the NBA. Sir Charles Barkley. Charles,
what's happening?
How are you?
Man, I'm good. A little shocked about last night. Kind of surprised the Mavs didn't close them out. But, give Karl-Anthony Towns some credit. You know, he's had an awful series. He came out fired and being aggressive going to the basket. But like Anthony Edwards said, they haven't done anything yet. They got to get it back to Dallas to make it a series.
Yeah. It does always seem like in these seven-game series, you know, teams down 3-0, they never really come back. But if you could at least get it to 3-2, then you make it interesting. It's that game five that at least you can, you know, if Dallas goes out there Thursday and thumps them, then, you know, who cares that they won last night?
True. So I think Minnesota's going to win tomorrow. I think they're going to be fired up, ready to go. And then Dallas better win game six because they're not going to go back to Minnesota to win game seven.
I mean, that's what we want as sports fan. We want that game seven. There'd be nothing better than to see it play it out that way. So hopefully, you know, Matt, the Timberwolves give us a couple of more wins here and at least make things. I mean, for the NBA to be in that situation where if Dallas would have won on Tuesday night, the layoff would have been incredible with the two sweeps. It's amazing they can't change that if that scenario would have played out.
Yeah, it would have been a bad scenario. I mean, you'd have had over a week with no basketball.
Yeah.
And also, I think it would have been very difficult for the teams because, you know, how hard do you practice with worry about getting somebody hurt? That, to me, was something I would be concerned with trying to, because you got to play hard and work on your condition and scrimmaging. But the last thing you want, you know, Celtics already, you know, them getting Porzingis back is really going to be huge for them. But like I say, the good thing we got to, I really think Minnesota's going to win tomorrow. And like I say, it's going to be some tremendous pressure on Dallas to wrap that thing up in game six.
You know, I was going to ask you, it's so funny. I'm sure everyone listening right now is like, where's the Inside the NBA TNT stuff? We'll get to it, but let's get this out of the way.
Let me tell you something. That's going to be the easiest question you ever asked.
Exactly. Yeah. But if it's Minnesota Boston, I think it's a fascinating series in that all the pressure will be on the Celtics. The Timberwolves won't have any pressure because the Celtics with this unit, with the Tatum and the Brown, they're trying to get over that hump finally. And if it's Minnesota will have no pressure, which I think will make it fascinating. If it's Dallas, Boston, who would you say has more pressure? The Celtics to finally get over the hump with this team or Kyrie to get that ring that he hasn't been able to get since he left LeBron?
No, all the pressure is on the Celtics, no matter who they play.
Okay.
You know, they've been in the conference finals, I think, five out of the last 6 years into the finals once. all the, you know, last year blowing up, being the number one seed, you know, all the pressure is on the Celtics, no matter who they play.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, you can't keep knocking on the door. They went out and got Drew Holiday and Porzingis. You know, they've done everything possible but win the championship. So, regardless of who they play, all the pressure is on the Celtics.
I thought maybe Kyrie, I feel like he might need that title without LeBron since he decided to leave LeBron. And then, obviously, terrible tenure in Boston, terrible tenure in Brooklyn. He's sort of on this little bit of a redemption here. He's behaved with the Dallas Mavericks. He's played well. I guess the pressure, it wouldn't be as much pressure on him as Boston, but I do feel like Kyrie does, to sort of cement a legacy, would probably have to get one more, right, without LeBron, or you think it's
no,
irrelevant?
I think, you know, the way it works most of the time, you get one, you're kind of a made man. I think it'd be a tremendous amount of pressure, if you want to look like that, on Luka, because he's been a great, great player for a long time, and this is obviously his best chance, probably his best chance of winning.
Yeah. I look at the difference in that Luka hasn't bounced around in a million places and had a couple of flops like Kyrie had.
Yeah.
That's
100% correct. Yeah. But like I say, man, the way this thing works, if you get one, you kind of a made man. And you're kind of like in the mob. You're like, once you win one.
Yeah. Once you're in, that's it.
Yeah.
All right. I have a bunch of general questions I want to ask you. I don't want to just do the entire TNT thing, but obviously we have to do it. I want to start with this. Have you been surprised at all by the response? Because sports fans, I mean, if anyone didn't think the show was important beforehand, they clearly know it now. And I think what's become clear is how important Inside the NBA is to a lot of fans. Has any of the response, the overwhelming response to the show possibly ending, been at all a surprise to you?
It's been amazing. Somebody said there's a petition out now, but just in my everyday life, people just walking up to all of us, to be honest with you, especially like we're traveling now, because, you know, normally we're in the studio. We only travel for the conference finals. So being in Minnesota for 4 days, being in Dallas for 4 days, like the response has been incredible. So, I mean, obviously we are very proud of what we accomplished. You know, for me, 24, Kenny, 27, Ernie, 32, and I think Shaq is either 12 or 13, somewhere in there. But it's been incredible. But the one thing that sucks, you know, we don't know anything. And it's getting a little frustrating with all the rumors and things like that. You know, like 3 weeks ago, we got like, it's done, we've lost it. And we're like, what? And then, no, it's not. And, you know, and it's really interesting. Like, every reporter is kind of trying to break the story, and they're all kind of lying. Like, you know, until TNT tell us something, what's really crazy about the whole thing is, even if we lose it, we got to do it for another year, that's going to be probably the craziest part.
I have written many a time that you already don't give a you-know-what. Next year, I can't even imagine what you'd be like on the air, knowing if it was over. I mean,
yeah, you know, it sucks, basically. And yeah. I'm not even worried about me, to be honest with you. I'm worried about all the people who work there. Because, you know, me, Kenny, Ernie, and Shaq are going to be fine. But, you know, it's probably going to be 200 people who lose their jobs.
Yep.
And that's the part that really sucks. You know, it's so crazy because in the 24 years, you know, that's a long time. You know, there's people who have bought their kids in when they were like newborns. And then they bring them through when they're in high school and their friends want to bring through. And then the next time you see them, like, they just graduated college. So it's really been interesting. Like a couple weeks ago, this one kid bought in like five guys and five girls. They were going to the prom. I was like, yo, man, Mr. Chalk, we met like 15, 16 years ago. And you get these relationships. And that's the thing, though, the people you're like, yo, man, you in high school, you graduated? No, I graduated college. So it's been pretty amazing. I mean, for these to be around these guys for so long.
Yeah, the longevity. And listen, there's probably millions of people who know you for that show and not as a top 50 NBA player.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it just goes to show you, man, it's been an amazing run. I mean, 24 years at any job is pretty incredible.
Absolutely.
I was just so funny. I was laying around the house a few months ago, and I was watching Auburn play basketball. And it says, a quarter of a century ago, this guy did this. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And then the answer was me. Damn, quarter of a century? Is that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, so man, it's been a crazy, amazing journey.
Yeah.
They go from, playing right into television, and then obviously the show has been wildly successful. It's weird. Me and Ernie won individual Emmys, and the show won for we've won 20 out of 23. And I thought it was crazy they pay us to watch basketball. Now they're giving us trophies, so it's pretty special.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear from anyone at Warner Brothers Discovery in the higher up positions, or did you get in trouble at all for saying on Dan Patrick last week that morale stinks and that you didn't understand the new guy over at WBD there saying we don't need the NBA?
Well, number one, they're not going to call me. They know better. Secondly, he shouldn't have ever said that, plain and simple. And, I think this is our third negotiations. And we've all always signed during the exclusive window. It's never came up for bidding. And clearly Adam is upset. I'm assuming he's upset. And something's going on, to be honest with you, because if we have the right to match, that would be a simple, we're going to match or we're not going to match. So that's the thing probably got us disturbed the most. If we have the right to match it, you just say, we're going to match it or we're not.
Yeah. Well, I guess the question is the definition of the match, because you hear match and you think, okay, well, if NBC is offering 2 point whatever billion, then Turner offers 2 point whatever billion and it's match. But I guess the question is, well, NBC is offering games on network television, whereas TNT can't offer that, and then it's not a true match. I guess there's some legal things there about what exactly is a match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the legalities, I think we're kind of surprised that we've never, the last times we've done it, the last couple, maybe even three, I can't remember, it never came up for bid. It was always signed during the exclusive window. So it's just, and first of all, I think they've done a really shitty job of keeping us abreast. And just say, hey, guys, we're in the middle of negotiations. It's 50-50. Just say something. I mean, we have not discussed it. And not even just for me, the people who work there, because the people who work there, they're the ones on pins and needles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just say something. Just say something to let the people be able to breathe a little bit. I mean, because I can't imagine having a family and bills, because, realistically, you probably got to start looking for another job. I don't think you're going to wait a year and get fired.
Right.
Jobs are going to be scarce. And if you're going to get fired at the end of next year, I'm pretty sure, especially if we got some really talented people, I'm pretty sure some of these networks are going to be poaching them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have that, your relationship with Adam Silver? Can you call him and just say, Adam, what the hell's going on here? Give me a lowdown. Can you do that, or that's not for you to do?
I love Adam. I got a lot of love and respect for him. I could do that, but I don't think it's my place, because we have to remember Adam works for the owners and the players. He's got to do, and I always tell the players when they get mad, I say, yo, man, he's running a business. He's trying to do what's best for the owners, and he's trying to do what's best for the players. And he's always in a lose-win situation, can't make everybody happy. But in this situation, he's got to do what's best for the owners and the players. And like I say, man, it's funny. You know, I'm around Ernie and Shaq right now and Kenny every day now. Like normally we just show up at the studio. Now we bump at each other at the hotel and walking around. It's like, yo, man, I've been asked 20 times today, what's going on with the deal? We're like, right. We don't know anything. Right, and and that goes back to my original point earlier. Like, yo, just call me and say, hey, you know what? It's going good. It's not going good. Kiss my ass or something. Say, if they call and just say, kiss my ass, I feel better about that than him.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. So you have no relationship at all with David Zaslav, I guess?
None. I met him twice. I saw him last week at the upfronts. He said hello, and that was it.
So in that spot, you don't want to say to him what's going on with the NBA?
Well, I thought he should have said something to us when he had us there, to be honest with you, but he didn't. Yeah. And I'm like, there was crowds around, so I didn't want to make a scene, but I thought he should have said something.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've been fighting people on this because I get asked, as someone who covers media, I keep getting, you know, I get a lot of, all day long, I get, well, won't those four guys just go to NBC? Won't those four guys just go to Amazon? And I know you told Dan Patrick last week, you thought about with your production company, bringing those guys over. And my take on that, and I mean, no, there's no one better than you to answer this, is I think even if the four of you stay together somewhere else, the show's not going to be the same because of the people behind the scenes. You need those behind. Yes, you can go to Amazon or NBC. You'll be funny. You'll bust Shaq's balls. Ernie's great. That's all going to, but it won't be the same if the entire crew, you know. And also I've said, like, you guys, there are nights you guys are on till 1:30 in the morning here on the East Coast. You're on NBC. They're going to say, oh, we got to go to the local news and Jimmy Fallon. And maybe they'll throw you guys on Peacock, which would be gross. So it's not going to be the same. That's my take on it. I'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, number one, it's obviously all hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't know what Ernie would do. And I have no idea what Kenny and Shaq would do, to be honest with you. But I don't think Ernie would ever go work for another network, first and foremost. And, you know, and that's the interesting thing about, like, nobody has zero idea what's going to happen going forward. You know, with ESPN, Amazon, NBC, or Fairless TNT. Like, the only thing that we actually know, like, if the show stays at Turner, it's going to obviously stay the same. But we have no idea what Amazon or NBC wants to do. We have no idea where they would want to do the show from. But I don't think Ernie would ever leave Turner. And I can say, I can't speak, because the weird thing about it, we decided, like, we don't know what would happen to the show if we lose it. But it really doesn't do us any good to try to make any plans until we lose the package or hear something.
Yeah.
So, and I think the limbo is probably the weirdest dynamic of the whole thing.
Sure.
We can't even have an honest discussion like, hey, would you go to here? Would you go to here?
Right.
You know, we're like, you know what? Let's just wait. Because and that goes back to my original point. None of this shit means anything because we still got to work together for another year.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, it doesn't do us any good. Hey, would you guys go to Amazon? Hey, would you guys go to NBC? Would you guys go to ESPN? Like, dude, we got another year to be together. So worrying about something that's a year and a half away is really just kind of stupid.
Well, hopefully they don't. hopefully if they lose it, you're supposed to be on another year, you stay on another year and they don't throw you off because you do these interviews. Cause I know you, the New York Times had a piece today where you talked to someone from the Times and Ernie and Kenny were nervous. They didn't want you talking. You're talking to me. I hope you don't get in trouble, but I feel like you don't give a shit.
No. First of all, I don't even understand. I can talk to anybody, but I'm not going to say anything that nobody knows. Right. There's nobody I don't know shit. It's frustrating not knowing shit. Like I say, they could have, I'll give you an example. Me and Gail King are really pissed right now because, you know, they said King Charles was canceled. I said, well, first of all, they've never said we were canceled. We were only supposed to do a limited run because I had to get back to my NBA job.
Right, right.
And they haven't even had the common courtesy to say, then all the headlines, King Charles canceled. And me and Gail talk all the time. They're like, hey, have they told you we were canceled? I'm like, no. Like,
you have not heard one word from one CNN executive.
Nada, no. No.
Why did it come out that it was canceled?
That's my point. We have we read all the headlines. And like I say, I could care less, to be honest with you. But yeah. they never called and said, hey, yo, the show wasn't canceled, or it was canceled. That'll work too. But we had during the playoffs, I work every day.
Right.
We had already decided with the CNN, whatever, y'all going to do a small little window of shows, then Charles is going to have to get back to the playoffs. Right. And then I'm reading the newspaper just like you are, King Charles is canceled. And me and Gail just started laughing, like, we got canceled? Like, they haven't called me.
Maybe when the playoffs are over, they'll call you and be like, all right, you and Gail ready to do a show?
Well, they could have. Listen, like I say, if they cancel the show, it's their prerogative. But you would at least have the common courtesy, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
To like, hey, Gail, Charles. We were already only going to do a small amount of shows because me and Gail joke around time. We both had to get back to our real jobs. But did not even have the common courtesy to say, hey, the show's canceled. Let the headlines, because I read articles all the time when I'm doing like stuff like this. They're like, well, Charles was on this show, and you know, they canceled King Charles. I'm like, well, first of all, I don't know if they canceled King Charles. They haven't told me, they haven't told Gail.
That's wild. That's wild. Listen, I think, you know, just being in sports media, it seems like lack of communication is a thing at a lot of these companies. But
if you're going to fire somebody, yeah. Listen, I don't care. And I own businesses.
Right.
I'm not going to let somebody read they got fired
right.
in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then if it came out and it was inaccurate, I said they were not fired. I would at least, if I had enough respect for Gail and myself, I would at least think that they would, number one, tell us we were fired before it was released. But also, if it came out we were fired, they would at least have the common courtesy that's like, okay, then no. They did not fire them. It was only going to be a limited run because Charles had to go back to the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, I in my head, as you're speaking, like, I can't figure out which is wilder to me, that or the fact that, you know, someone from Warner Brothers Discovery doesn't say to the four of you, like, listen, obviously this story about TV negotiations is out there. Amazon, NBC, just hang tight. We'll have, it's shocking to me that hasn't happened either. So I guess.
So there's two fronts. It's two fronts where I'm really pissed.
Yeah.
One, you just said, I'm really pissed about that. But also, like I say, I'm really pissed about the King Charles thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to get upset if y'all cancel the show, but just tell people it was only going to be a limited run and the show's not canceled. Yeah. Or at least, okay, we canceled the show, A or B. Don't just leave it out there.
That's wild. Have you had any conversations with any of your colleagues or all of your colleagues about what next year would be like if you lost it and next year would be your last year? Like, you know, I would imagine that would be very difficult to do those shows next year knowing it was over. I don't know. Have you talked to the guys about that? Have you thought about it?
Well, I thought about it, but we have not talked about it. Mm-hmm. I told you, we made a conscious effort, guys. There's nothing we can really say to each other until the other shoe drops. I guess that's the best way to explain it. Let's just cross that bridge when we get to it. But no, we haven't had any conversation about what next year would look like. And I say that's probably even one of the even more frustrating things. Like, yo, man, just make a decision.
Yeah.
And because like just not knowing is like probably the worst part.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you one hypothetical.
Sure.
One hypothetical. If TNT lost it and for whatever reason, you guys decide, you know, Ernie's going to stick at Turner. Maybe Shaq wants to retire and run his 1,000 businesses. And you four are not going to be together. And that's the outcome. And after next year, you're not going to be together. NBC, Amazon, ESPN all offer you the same money. Does one of those companies have more appeal to you to join?
I would have to look at their packages. Mm-hmm. See, because even that's actually another really weird dynamic of this thing. Like, even if we keep the NBA, there's rumors that we're gonna get like a summit and so much stuff taken away. Like we've been alternating the conference finals forever. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, we only going to get the conference finals like every other year. One of us is going to, we're going to lose the in-season tournament. So to answer your question, honestly,
yeah,
I don't know who going to have what. So I couldn't even make an educated guess.
Right.
Even hypothetical.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like ESPN will have they'll have the finals and they'll have the conference finals every year. And then the conference finals are going to split between NBC and Amazon. That's what is out there now.
So we hear all the rumors, but so I was answering your question.
Yeah. Like, no, I believe
it would. I would have to sit down with those people and say, what are you going to have?
Right.
You know, two important questions. What do you have and where are you going to do the show from?
Go
ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're lucky enough where I think they'd let you dictate, you know, if you say, I want to do the show from here, they'd probably let you do the show from wherever you want. You have that kind of power. But if that's your sort of requirement, the only one in that package who has the NBA finals every year and the conference finals every year is ESPN.
And let me tell you something. They're not going to work me like a dog.
You're going to be on First Take, Get Up, Scott Van Pelt every day. It's going to be Charles 24/7.
ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, ESPN Desportes. I mean, like, hell no. So as much as I love ESPN,
yeah,
you know, dude, I just turned 61.
Yeah.
The notion that I'm going to be working like a dog into my mid 60, that's definitely not gonna happen. So I gotta sit back. Like I say, this thing is so wacky. I mean, like, if we just lost it and everything was gone, but to have that year.
Yeah.
And like, that's why like I say, I can't even think about, you know, the hypothetical question you're asking, like, dude, what y'all got?
That's what's going to be. I mean, for you, especially in that year, if it plays out the way we expect it to play out, unfortunately, the bidding war for you is going to be over. It's going to be a year of those companies bidding for you. That's what's going to happen. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, the money would not even raise my thing, to be honest with you. It just really would depend on schedule.
Yeah. Well, if ESPN wants Charles, less shows. Don't offer more shows. That's not going to get you. Say we'll put you on Get Up and McAfee and Stephen A. You'll be arguing with Stephen A. every day on ESPN.
Hey, first of all, I'm
less
not
is more.
And I'm not a morning person.
Right.
You know, so that's definitely like, yeah, I'm not getting up early in the morning because I live in Arizona. I had to get up at like 5, 6 in the morning. I'm like, hell no, I'm not doing that. Hell no.
Have you thought about what you think the connection is the NBA fans would have with the four of you? I feel like there's certain things in sport. I think it's a sports thing in a way. There's certain things in sports that sports fans, we've seen it here, and I want to ask you about Bill Walton, universally loved. We had it with Vince Scully. There are certain people in sports that everybody just loves. Your show is there. Have you thought about what that connection is all about?
Yeah, I always said, I don't think people understand. I mean, you do because it's your job.
Yeah.
So we're on from 7 to 2 in the morning. First of all, you hope you get 2 great games, first and foremost. But if you get 1 shitty game, it's a long night. If you get 2 shitty games, it's like a really long night. So we always let the game play out. We hope it's a great game because the game is always the most important thing. But the second thing is when it's a shit game 1 or a shit game 2 or both shitty, we just try to make sure people have fun.
Yeah.
Because like I say, from 7 to 2 is a long time. And people don't want to watch crappy, shitty basketball from 7 to 2 in the morning. And they don't want to be hit over the head. Like, see how they run the pick and roll. They're jumping it. They're hedging. They're doubling it. Nobody wants that. I think we found a great mixture. Like, hey, if you want to talk about serious basketball, we can do that. But the most important thing, we want you to have fun watching basketball. That, to me, is the simplicity of the show.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned Bill Walton. I want to know what kind of relationship you have with Bill. But when the news came of Bill passing, I thought of you a lot because I thought about how Bill, like yourself, are guys that do it your way. And in this business, executives love to change personalities. They love, you know, and I think this happened with Tony Romo, for instance. When Romo first started with CBS, he was predicting the plays and people loved it. And then someone at CBS told him to stop doing it. And executives love to get in there and change talent. And the talent that always stands out, the talent that always succeeds, the talent that's always popular is the unique talent that does their thing and are lucky enough where the executives let them cook. ESPN let Walton do his thing. Yeah. TNT has let you do your thing. Why do you think networks don't get it? And when they have a personality, just let that personality cook. Why do they always have to try? Like you, I feel like you and Walton are the two at the top that the executives couldn't mess with you guys.
Well, number one, thank you. Listen, man, I said this earlier. Man, people should watch sports to have fun. I want people when they watch our show, like, yo, man, this is what it's like when I'm with my friends enjoying. We got some beers going. They're going to make me laugh. We're going to talk serious. I think Bill did the same thing. But I always say to myself, I'm trying to relate to the guy sitting at home. If he's got a wife sitting next to him, she don't want to be like, she have no idea what a pick and roll is. You know, she don't know what a flare screen is, but if they're going to sit there, and especially when, you know, when you start growing up and your kids like who love basketball, I always am cognizant of like, you know what? Cause you know, I made this joke before publicly. I said the same thing before every show, guys, it's just basketball. We're not saving the fucking world. I said that before every show. I do. I said that before every show. I told that up at the upfront. The young lady, she says, hey, because it was me, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Wayne Gretzky, and Michael Parsons, all part of our platform. So Taylor Rooks said, Charles, can you give Dale Jr. any advice? And obviously we got all the people from there and everybody. I says, well, you know, Dale, you know, you just have fun. I said the exact same thing before the show, every show. I said, guys, it's just basketball. We ain't saving the fucking world. I said that before every single show.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. It's just basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I says, man, we ain't armed service people. We're not teachers. We're not doctors. We're not firemen. We're not. I tell people, if you're in the armed service, I admire and respect the hell out of you. If you're a teacher or a nurse, I respect the hell out of you. We just guys talking about basketball. It should be fun.
Yeah.
Like I say,
yeah.
Because we're there for so long too. Like you got to make people like, yo, man, I don't want to hear it strictly about basketball. If you've been sitting here, make me laugh. If I've been watching basketball since 7 o'clock at night, around 9:30, make me laugh. Say something funny. Say something stupid. Do something funny. Do something stupid. That's what my goal is every time.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's issues with this current boss with the new, but I guess over the years, I guess you've been left alone to do your thing. So those people deserve credit. Whoever it for bosses to leave people alone is a big deal. So if those bosses up, these 25 years you've been on, they've left you alone, they deserve credit for that. I mean, even, I think about TNT with their hockey, they have Biz Nasty, Paul Bissonnette. That's a guy, like, don't ever try to change that guy. Let him cook. He's hysterically funny, but a lot of networks want to change people. And, it's so bizarre to me.
Well, because I think it's kind of like when I'm shooting commercials.
Mm-hmm.
The people there, I learned this from Sam Jackson, who's the best that I've ever worked with as far as working in that field.
Yeah.
Like he says, because like sometimes they'll write commercials and they're like written by really, really smart people who have no sense of humor. And Sam's like, hey, I'm going to change this to make it funny. And they still keep the outline mm-hmm. of the commercial, but he's like, you want to make people laugh when you shoot a commercial.
Right.
And I think a lot of times the people who write the commercials, they're really, really smart, but they don't have a sense of humor. They're trying to sell their product. And I've always believed any commercial I make, I try to make it as funny as possible, because if you're yelling and screaming and trying to just sell a product, I don't think that gets people attention. Like when I watch a commercial and it's funny, I was like, that's funny.
Right.
And
yeah.
I take that personal, try to make people enjoy basketball, because it is just basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me talk about Walton. I wanted to know what your relationship was like with Bill, how close you guys were over the years.
We had a great relationship.
Mm.
He is just, and I said this on the show last night, the world was better for having Bill Walton in it, and it's a lot less better that he's gone. He is one of the most charismatic people, pure heart. Not an evil bone in his body. Just wanted to be a good person, happy. And I like I say, we were not great friends, but every time I was around him, I felt like, yo, this is a good dude. And people forget, man, he was a hell of a basketball player. One thing that I noticed the last few days, old highlights, he's with the Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, that guy could really jump. because when I got to play against him later, he was a sixth man for the Celtics,
mm-hmm.
kind of, and he didn't have all that athletic ability. When I went back the last few days, they showing all these highlights. He's like dunking on everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shooting that little jumper. I was like, damn, I didn't forget Bill. I mean, because it was so long, I forget he was dunking like that.
Yeah.
But they
yeah.
showed a couple of highlights when they played the 76ers. When he was dunking on Dr. J and George McGinnis and those guys, I'm like, wow. Because obviously all the injuries took their toll on him. Because even when he came back later, he was still good enough to be the sixth man of the year a couple of times, I think.
Right, right.
But I hope people got an opportunity to go back and see what he was with Portland and UCLA. So, but the world is not as good as it was, because Bill Walton was a pure man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The reaction's been unbelievable. Really. I was even taken aback.
He's kind of like, you know what? He's kind of like Ernie Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I mean by that is everybody likes Ernie Johnson.
Right, right.
Everybody likes Bill Walton. That's probably the best way I can explain it. Everybody likes Ernie Johnson because, Jimmy, I have so many people in my everyday life. Yo, man, is Ernie Johnson as good a dude as he seems? I'm like, dude, Ernie's the best dude you ever going to meet. He's the best dude you ever going to meet. And it's just funny how the same, like, there's nobody don't like Bill Walton. There's nobody who does that who didn't like Bill Walton.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm gonna wrap. I'll wrap up with the inside the NBA stuff. Over the last few weeks, with everyone thinking the show is in jeopardy, everyone's been posting like their favorite moment. I know you're not a big social media guy, but have you looked at any of that stuff? Have you checked any of that stuff out, or you've stayed away from it?
Jimmy, you know what's crazy? We released that documentary last year. That was amazing. The crew did an amazing job.
I was in it.
I know, but I'm telling you how crazy the shit is. We were sitting around watching that.
And you didn't remember half the stuff.
We like, wait, well, you did that in year three. That was so amazing. I've seen some things recently, obviously. But going back and look at that documentary was one of the most interesting things I'd ever seen. I'm like, I don't even remember doing that. And it's the same way with Kenny and Ernie. They're like, because when we, in one of the spots, we're just sitting around reminiscing, but we have forgot so much stuff. So, man, it was incredibly well done by our crew. Actually, no, that's Drew Brees' sister who put that together. Audrey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's Drew Brees' sister.
Okay.
And she did a fabulous job, and obviously a lot of other people worked on it. Yeah. But it was really crazy looking back at some of the stuff we had did. I mean, obviously, like, because you just can't remember all the stupid stuff we did 24 years ago.
Right. I bet you remember Shaq saying it's cheaper if he only fills up his gas tank halfway.
You know, those two things... That because I actually rewatched that recently because actually somebody posted, please don't take this away from me.
Right.
That was it. And they played the whole segment about that. But then they played the segment where we were doing a tribute to John Glenn. And this is how crazy Shaq is at times. We're doing a tribute, Ernie's like being all serious. And then we go off the air. And Shaq says, is it closer to the moon or to L.A.? And Ernie says, what? He says, is it closer to the moon or to L.A.? And Shaq says, you can see the moon. You can't see L.A. And we're like, turn the cameras back on. Please turn the cameras back on. And he's trying to explain himself like, why y'all think that's a stupid question? I walk outside, I can see the moon, I can't see L.A. And, man, and he was 100%.
Right.
I mean, and we're dying laughing. And there's a couple times, and Ernie has got this laugh where he can't, it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And there's probably been 10 to 15 times, and that was one of them, the gas story and the moon story. Yeah. Where he started laughing uncontrollably. And man, it's nothing like it.
Ernie, and that pisses Shaq off even more probably too.
Yeah, and Shaq, and listen, Ernie is a very serious person because he probably works the hardest on the show of anybody having all the things together. But man, when we get him on one of those laughing trips, it's the best trip ever.
I love the one when Shaq got mad at you for talking too much and he said, it's not supposed to be 1-2-1. Oh, it's supposed to be 1-2-3-4.
And he didn't speak to us for 2 days.
He was that pissed.
He was that pissed. And Ernie said that he didn't speak to us for 2 days. I'm not even exaggerating. He did not speak to us for 2 days. The only time he talked is when he was on the air. And then he'd go back. And he wouldn't, because normally we sit around together and watch the game in the same room and we shoot the shit the whole time.
Right.
He was so mad about that. I mean, like, he was really furious about that. But, you know, we didn't care.
Well, plus he's pissed that you and Kenny are laughing right in his face. Yeah, oh, my God. That's the worst thing you can do when someone's pissed.
The worst thing you can do to him is laugh at him. That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. All right, before I let you go, let me ask you a couple of randoms. Well, let me do this before. Is there anything you want to say about TNT, inside the NBA, the contract, anything you want to get off your chest? I'll give you an open forum here, and then I'll move on to just a couple of other quickies.
No, you know, man, it's such a part of sports. Everybody, like, you asked me a question earlier, random people coming up saying, We can't lose inside. I mean, I'm talking about hundreds of people. They probably 25 a day for the last couple of months when they're like, things are going on. It's been very sad on the road. Like I say, we're on the travel for the conference final. So it's been really sad on the road. Like, yo, man, y'all can't lose. Y'all, I was like, dude, we got no control over it. We got zero control over it.
Right.
And I just hope we keep it. Not for me, Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq, for the people who we've grown accustomed to the last 24 years, 27 for Kenny, 32 for Ernie. Might even be 36 for Ernie, to be honest with you. 32 or 36.
Yeah.
But, man, I just hope we keep it, plain and simple.
So do I. All right, let me – a couple of things, I'll let you go. We just had a few weeks ago the Tom Brady roast. When that was over, there was a lot of talk of, we need more sports figures getting roasted. Who would be a good person to get roasted? Would you ever agree to get roasted?
If they would have to give a tremendous amount of money to charity for me to do it. I mean, they would really have to, like I said, I wouldn't do it for money, but if they were to give a tremendous amount of money to some charities, I would definitely consider it. And, you know, I was disappointed that some of the people got, like, what did you expect at a roast? Especially with that group of people. Right. Nikki Glaser is terrific. Kevin's terrific. I forget the other comedian's name. So
Jeffrey Ross.
Yeah, Jeffrey was, and Schultz, I think.
Andrew Schultz.
Yeah. I'm like, I thought it was terrific. I thought it was vulgar. I thought it crossed the line at times, but I thought it was fantastic. And I hope they gave a lot of money to charity because it was funny as hell.
All right. So Charles is open to it for the right amount. That's good to know. I'm curious. Are you friends with Brady? You have a relationship with Tom? I know you guys have done that golf thing on TNT.
I consider us casual friends.
Has he hit you up for advice on broadcasting? Okay. Go ahead.
I'll say this. Him and Wayne Gretzky are the two nicest goats I've ever been around. As a matter of fact, you see this watch here?
Yeah.
I've been offered $250,000 for this watch. So I'm broadcasting one of the matches, probably been 4 or 5 years ago. I make a nice comment about this watch. And this watch is a pretty penny. I'm talking double digit thousands.
Right.
I said, Tom, that's a nice watch. He said, thanks, Chuck, blah, blah, blah. We do the broadcast another, you know, 2 or 3 hours. One of Tom's boys comes up to me and says, hey, Tom's looking for you. I said, where is he at? He says, in the clubhouse. I go up. I said, Tom, what's up? He said, Chuck, take my watch. I said, what? I said, Tom, I'm just saying you had a nice watch. He says, I appreciate the compliment. And he gives me this watch. And I was told that story before, and a couple of collectors offered me $250,000 for it. I says, wouldn't sell it for any amount. But that's what a guy Tom is. Him and Wayne Gretzky, as far as being the ghosts of their sport, they're two of the nicest, most humble guys I've ever met, Tom and Wayne. And, I tell that story. Like, this dude said, you can have my watch. And I went and looked. I'm like, whoa, man, this is like a real expensive watch.
Right.
But it was
Did you do the whole fake, like, no, I don't want to take your watch. I can't take your watch. Or did you take it right away?
Oh, because I didn't want him to think I gave him a compliment on the watch because I wanted the watch.
It was
a nice watch.
Right.
I'm like, Dom, you don't have to do that. But when he said it the second time, I said, thank you.
That was a Seinfeld episode with a pen, though, not a watch. Yeah. But because I was just curious that he's going to go into broadcasting. You're obviously one of the best. I was wondering if he maybe hit you up and said, you know, any advice for how to get into this?
If he asked me for advice, I said, number one, show your personality.
Yeah.
And it's like when I'm watching Peyton and Eli, like, and Tony was good at it too. Like, this is the play to run against that defense. This is what I see. Oh, this is a run pass option. Like, fans, because the one thing fans think they know is sports, and they really don't. They really don't. Right. And so I give an example. Like, on the weekend, I watched football with my friends who played in the NFL. They're like, oh, that's not a good play right there. I'm like, what's happening? He says, they're going to score a touchdown. I said, well, what explain it to him? He says, well, that's the wrong defense. They're going to score a touchdown. What else says, well, they bet this defense, you throw against this defense, you run it against this defense. Like, I love having insight like that because normally I'm just a football fan watching a game. Right. Or this is one of a perfect example. I'll say, why the hell did that quarterback throw that interception? They're like, oh, that wasn't his fault. I was like, well, explain to me. They're like, no, that's a hot route. The wide receiver's got to break that off. Or he went out and he's supposed to go in. I love, and Tom is probably, you know, Tony Romo could do it, and other guys probably can do it too. Mm. But Tom is the best to ever do it. And I'm pretty sure, like, having insight like that is going to be very beneficial as long as he let his personality show. Because the one thing he can't do is just give X and O's. He's got to show some personality.
Yeah, I agree totally. And he's shown a lot of personality since he got out of New England. So if he does that, he'll be good. When you were on the last time, we talked about LeBron, and I had said I'm a huge LeBron fan. You were very complimentary of LeBron. You talked about how great his story is. So I come at this as a LeBron fan. But is there a bigger insult than the Lakers trying to tell us LeBron has no say in the coaching search? Come on.
Hey, let me tell you something. Number one, I want to say, I'm glad you brought that up because J.B. Bickerstaff, Frank Vogel, and Darvin Ham all got screwed. They all got screwed. Blaming coaches, that's become the norm now, and it's really unfair. But listen, the Lakers are not going to make any decision without running by LeBron. I guarantee you that. So, yeah, that's a joke. The Lakers are not going to hire a coach without talking to LeBron. That is an insult to all of us.
Absolutely. All right, last one, and then we can wrap it up. I don't think there was anything more shocking that I saw over the last, I guess, I don't know, maybe a year, 6 months now, than Charles Barkley joining Instagram. There is no one more anti-social media than you.
Yeah, you know.
Explain yourself.
Jim, it's been an interesting thing because, you know, I got a vodka and a gin. And, I look for business in Alabama. So I bought a distillery in Alabama. And they're like, you can't just go word of mouth. You need to hold some events, do some bottle signings and things like that. And they said the best way to get your message out is put it on Instagram when you have these bottle signings and things like that. And I say, I'll do it. And it's interesting. I'm not going to go back and forth. I don't want losers thinking their opinion matter, but I've connected with Dan and Shay. They're my favorite group right now. Mm-hmm. I've been talking to Andrew Zimmern. I love his show, The Delicious Destinations. It's been really cool, especially going back and forth to Minnesota. Cause he sent me a couple of DMs, but Dan and Shay has been really cool. So I've got a chance to say hello to people I really like. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool for me.
But we'll never see you on Twitter.
No, but you know, because I don't understand, like, there's never a reason to be an asshole. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to give your fucking opinion on everything. You don't, like, if something happens, you don't have to give your opinion, especially if it's mean or nasty. Like, get a life. Get a life. That's why I did not, well, like, okay, you don't like me. I get it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Why do you have to tell me like it matters?
Well, I'd the have best, never met the you. The best of the life. People who don't like you, but they follow you. That's the best.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But like, why do you have to make a negative comment? Like, okay, you don't like me or you don't like something I said. I get it. But why are you following me? Or why are you taking the time out of your life? Because if, you know, if you're successful, you should be busy. You don't have time to stay on the internet all the time.
You know, I didn't even have this written down as a topic, but when you were talking, this came in my head. Didn't you get shit this week because you came out, defended Caitlin Clark, and then I saw someone from the WNBA, I think, I don't pay attention to the WNBA, so maybe I have, something that was like, they're tired of people who never watched the WNBA, but now they watch it and now they're talking about it. It's like, I feel like, so when you didn't talk about the NBA, people were pissed because they thought it was sexist that you wouldn't talk. Not you, I mean the general, you know, people, me, everybody. So if nobody talked about the WNBA, that's, now you talk about it and that's bad too. Like, well, what are people supposed to do?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I didn't say that. There have been a couple girls take shots at her, but I was really talking about media personalities taking shots at Caitlin Clark. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, talk about white privilege, pretty privilege. I'm like, the reason she's getting all these things, she just took two teams to the Final Four. She just set the record for most points ever scored in college. They're not making stuff up. The girl had, the lady, the woman, however you want to phrase it, had one of the greatest college careers of all time.
Right.
And every game she's played in the WNBA has been the most watched game ever. Instead of just giving her
credit,
flowers and just saying, hey, thank you for bringing visibility to the league. Yeah, is she the best player in the league? No. But she's bringing, everybody's going to make more money and more visibility because of her. Mm-hmm. But to say she's only getting this because of white privilege and white, they said pretty privilege. I'm like, wait a minute. She's not some scrub. Right. I said, she just took two teams to the Final Four. And I don't even know if they were great teams. The year before, she beat a team that was 36-0. Yeah. And I says, how about just giving this young lady her flowers? And is she going to struggle? Probably all rookies. Kobe Bryant struggle.
Yeah.
First of all, she was the number one pick in the draft for a reason. She went to a bad team.
Right.
The notion that she's going to come out there and light it up. They've had the number one pick 2 years in a row because they're a bad team.
Yeah.
And she's going to struggle at times. She's going to play against bigger, stronger women. But you don't have to say mean, nasty things about her because you're jealous. And that just really bothers me. And I wasn't going to say anything until I saw what LeBron said. Because I agree with him because he's been in that situation. And, you know, people are just petty, man. And it's really unfortunate. And because of, going back to what you said, because of social media, every loser got an opinion. Every asshole's got an opinion. And that's the thing that, you know, I'd never want to get caught because I'd never respond to people.
Yeah.
Because all you really do, because I hate when celebrities get into pissing contests, like, because all you do is pouring gasoline on a fire. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't pour gasoline on a fire. That drives me crazy.
Well, hopefully the fire with TNT can get put out and the NBA, you know, I wish the NBA could, like, I understand the NBA wants every penny they have, but I feel like you've had a 35-year relationship with Turner. Like, how about, like, you know, a little loyalty, but I guess they just want every penny, but hopefully this all works out. There's a miracle, and you guys are together, and it's the same. That's all we wish for right now.
So number one, thank you. And see, that's another point I want to make. I'm so good, and I've been saying it behind closed doors to when people ask this, because of the relationship. If the money is even in this on the same block,
right?
If it's in the, like now we if we're streets apart, I understand. But if we're even in a vicinity, law teacher means something. So what you just said is a really important point. And I think that's another thing, like, man, if we're close, how can y'all break off this relationship?
Yeah.
Because you said something earlier too. The show would never be the same on another network. Because like I say, NBC, they're going to have to go to, on Sunday night, you know, they're going to have to go to the news or something. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get 45 minutes to an hour after every game that we get now.
Right.
And so, number one, your point's well taken. If it's close, man, just pull the trigger.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully you guys get some information, some answers, Sue. That, it sucks that you're in the dark on it. But
hey, I appreciate you coming. Hey. Okay. I'm going to keep looking at my phone, man. They're going to call me. They canceled King Charles.
I think when the playoffs are over, CNN's going to call you and Gail and say, come back and do a show. We'll see. Maybe.
Hey, we stopped doing the show like 2 months ago. Maybe they sent. Maybe I should start checking my mail. Maybe they sent me like a pink slip in the mail.
Yeah, you might have severance in your bed. Oh, you know what? That's what I had to say. So wait, there was a clip of you that I posted last week where you made a joke, and it was when you did the Caitlin Clark thing, and Draymond said, oh, now even more people are going to hate you. And you said, as long as the postman comes on the 1st and the 15th, I don't care. And I posted that clip on Twitter. And do you know what? I must have had 100 people send the response. Charles gets his check in the mail. Why doesn't he have direct deposit? So can you clear up? Do you have direct deposit or you get check in the mail?
You know, I have direct deposit.
Okay.
I've literally never seen one of my checks.
Okay.
Jimmy, I'm telling you this. I think one of my friends back in 87, 88. Hey, man, you ever seen a check of yours? I'm like, no. And I think I told the Sixers to send me one check so I can save my life. I think I'm 100%. I think in the last, so I've been getting paid by people since 1984, 85. I think I've seen one check my entire life. And that was like in 86, somewhere in there. But other than that, I've never seen a check.
Okay. People were worried that you were getting, you going to the mailbox, ripping open the check, go to the bank. Okay. Charles has direct deposit.
Yes.
That's the good side of Twitter when people can make you laugh. Cause I thought people were going to like really get into your Caitlin Clark. I know you, cause you made the joke. I'm getting the check. As long as the postman comes the 1st and the 15th and you and Kenny go for another year. So it was a little joke about what's going on. Instead of people reacting to that, they're like, why doesn't Charles have direct deposit?
Hey, long as I make him laugh, man, it's all good.
And that's what you do. Thanks, Charles. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the series here. And good luck with the future.
Of course, brother. You take care of yourself. Keep up the awesome work.
Thank you. All right. Joining me now, as he does every week for our Train of Thought segment, my buddy from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY-TV in New York, Sal Licata. Sal, how are we doing?
Great. Absolutely terrific. How are you?
Hanging in there. I'm good. Want to start, give you a chance here. Do you have any Bill Walton memories, anything you want to mention about Bill Walton? The reaction to his passing this week was unbelievable. And I know that a lot of people say they don't watch games because of broadcasters, maybe because of what I do for a living. I'm in a different boat, but I could not possibly care less about college basketball. But if it's like 11 o'clock and I'm flipping the channels and he was calling a game on ESPN, I'd always leave it on for 5 to 10 minutes to hear how wacky it would get. So anything on Bill you want to say?
I remember him obviously as a broadcaster more than anything else. Could it have been with NBC? It was with NBC,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
NBC. Yep. So, or excuse me, yeah, NBA on NBC. So, yeah, I loved him then. I thought he had a quirky personality. I do think that it got to a level of, for me, it became too much and way out there. But wow. at his, just for me,
yeah.
At his peak, in when I was growing up with the NBA on NBC, I loved Bill Walton.
Yeah. The one thing about, you know, he's known for college, but I remember, like you mentioned, those NBC days in the 90s where he did the games. He did them with Marv, and then I think he did it with Tom Hammond. I will never forget, as long as I live, because I almost fell out of my chair laughing. I will never forget this. It was the Nets-Lakers final. One of the most non-competitive finals. I mean, the Lakers just mauled them for four games straight. It was not competitive. And in one of the games, it was in LA, the Lakers, it was Shaq was just going up and down the field, just dunking at will, left and right. It's just embarrassing. And Bill Walton just very, very dead serious, very quietly just goes, "Will somebody please take a charge? This is the NBA finals, for God's sake." The way he said it was so good. So he will be missed for sure.
You ever have him on?
I did have him on once. Yeah. I posted it on Twitter. I've said this before. He came on. It was a 42-minute interview. I spoke for 3 minutes. He spoke for 39. And I'm not lying.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. I remember being, when it was over, and this was 2019, so it wasn't nearly as, I don't want to use the word polished, but I'm a lot better now. And I just remember I was like, when it was over, it was like, I didn't know what was going on. It was like, I didn't ask any questions. Like, he just kept going. So it was
great.
It was an experience. I wanted to ask you about Angel Hernandez.
Okay.
Do you, there's now, like, I see this, like, people like, oh, he's getting beat up too much. People are too mean to him.
I do think that we go over the top in something like, there's no need to pile on. Everybody's now gotten what they wanted. He should have been fired a long time ago.
Right.
He's a horrible umpire, but he retired. So that's it. It's over. Like, you also, I can't even blame Angel Hernandez. I blame baseball for keeping him employed for as long as they did, when we all knew that he was horrific at his job. So now in retirement, do I think it's nice or right to pile on? I don't. So I do think that that's been over the top. But, I mean, he was a horrible umpire. So
It is interesting to me that, like, it happened. Now, you know, I had to mute a bunch of people on Twitter this week because I had tweeted, like, because, you know, Passan put out the story, like, oh, I can confirm he's retiring, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. But no one actually, like, baseball clearly fired him. And, you know, and a million people tweeted, like, he can't be fired. He's in the union. And it's like, okay.
Oh, God.
Fired, pushed out, bought out, money deal. The bottom line is, Angel Hernandez did not wake up on Tuesday or Monday, whatever day it was, and decide, I'm going to retire and give up my salary. Obviously, baseball said, you've got to get out, and they worked out some kind of thing. So if you were dumb enough to send me a tweet saying, he's in a union, he can't be fired, I muted you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. It is just pathetic. But the other thing is, you know, he said that, oh, it had nothing to do with, you know, baseball, right? Didn't he say that it had nothing to do with baseball forcing him out, or baseball
of
said?
Of course.
Yeah. Right. Like, come on. Right. What do you think?
You woke up and said, oh, I don't want to work anymore. Two months into the season. Okay, sure. Oh, but I do want to play. Again, the guy was terrible, but it does lead to some amusing memory. So I put this on Twitter in case. So, but, you know, not everyone follows. So if I just want to play this clip of Ken Hawk Harrelson on a bad Angel Hernandez call, because it makes me laugh so hard. So Shelby, hit that clip when you can so people can enjoy this.
Uh-oh. Can't get him. Oh, no! No!
He was safe at first.
No! No!
Well, Angel Hernandez blew the call, and the infield being back should have cost him the game. It didn't.
Hey,
Right there, he's safe.
He is safe.
Here come. Ball.
And another blown call by Hernandez.
So Angel was not all bad. He gave us that fourth no by Hawk is tremendous.
That's great. I mean, Angel Hernandez was so bad that he's a household name. Like,
right.
If you're a good umpire, we should know who the good umpires are. You don't hear about it. Angel Hernandez, whatever.
I don't know. I don't think you and I have ever discussed this, but do you know that I loved Ken Hawkhausen when I was a kid? He did the Yankees for the Yankees. Before MSG, they were on Sports Channel. Do you remember
right.
Sports Channel? And he
yeah.
did the games. I think he did them maybe for two seasons, maybe two or three. I loved Hawkhausen. He was like he was Sterling before Sterling. He was like
going to say
big
yeah.
time nut.
Yeah, I never remembered him with the Yankees at all. So this is the first time. Although I feel like I might have heard him say this before. I don't remember with the Yankees. I first became aware of him when I started doing shows at MLB.com and okay. we would go to all these different ballparks and take live looks at the game.
Right.
And I remember him, you know, going nuts.
It's on Wikipedia. It says he did the Yankees in 87 and 88 on Sports Channel.
So wow.
My terrible memory was pretty good there. And so his home run call, you can put on the board. Yes. Oh, I loved Hawk Harrelson when he did the Yankees.
Wow.
Yep. That's like, you know, that was like Don Mattingly days, you know.
He does the he gone too, right? He gone.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he gone. Yep. Are you into it all? I don't think this is your wheelhouse, but are you into all of this craziness about Dove Kleinman?
I'm not into it. I'm intrigued by it. I have a...
Oh, okay, good. Then we can get into it. Okay,
yeah, I have a hard time taking social media seriously to begin with. And then when you get an account like that, who is not even a real person, who's aggregating stuff, I guess, and becomes a massive social media presence, I just don't understand it. Is he real? Have we figured this out? Where are we at?
Well, there's a big twist now. There's a big twist. So, okay, so Dove Kleinman puts out the tweet on Monday that 70-year-old Mark Davis, owner of the Raiders, got this very attractive 26-year-old blonde pregnant.
Okay.
I could read you the exact verbiage of the tweet because it was pretty ridiculous. It says here, the tweet said, congrats. 26-year-old Hayden Hopkins, girlfriend of Raiders owner Mark Davis, 70, is pregnant. Happy for the power couple.
Okay.
Then this woman, Hayden Hopkins, goes on Twitter a few hours later, puts out a statement that they're friends and she's pregnant and her and Joey are going to have a baby. Then it comes out hours later that the Joey, who's the father, is Joey Gallo in Major League Baseball. But that's a whole sideshow. We can discuss it another time.
Okay.
The point is, I don't know where Dove Kleinman got that information to say, you know, I guess he assumed because she was in a suite at a Raiders game with Mark Davis. So he assumed because she was in a suite, they were dating, and then she announced she was pregnant, and then he says, oh, it's Mark Davis.
Pretty responsible reporting right there.
Took a sip of water. Bad podcast hosting right there. So now, the first outlet to do it, I believe, was Barstool. And a writer at Barstool figured out that about, I think in December, it appeared that the tweets from Dove Kleinman were in a much different tone. Like that tweet I just read is not usually a Dove Kleinman tweet. Usually what he just does is take a Schefter or Ian Rappaport report and just tweets it out. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets via Adam Schefter, or, you know, Tom Brady retires. Like those usually what the tweets are. This here with power couple, it seemed off. And they did some investigating. It turns out that the real Dove Kleinman, who we didn't even know if he was real, but whoever the real Dove Kleinman account was, sold his Twitter account. And this is how sick this world is and how awful Twitter is. So when Elon Musk took over Twitter, and then he did it where, like, if you buy the blue check mark, then you can make money off of tweets. So yeah. I didn't know this is a thing. So basically, this person bought the Dove Kleiman account so that person can then make money off of it by just getting as much engagement as possible.
Without being a responsible reporter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't have to be. He just needs to get people to hit the like button and the retweet button.
Right. So what's been the response after this bullshit story?
Well, the response is that I'm just looking. So, well, I thought he had more followers. He's got 289,000 followers. I thought he had more than that. So he ended up deleting the tweet. But, okay, so, like, here's a perfect example. Like, I see, like, he posted a video. It's like a compilation of, like, big hits from the NFL. Like, that has 3,000 likes and 645 retweets. So he's probably getting money from Twitter because of that engagement. So, like, whereas the old...
I don't understand. How do you get money from...
Because if you pay for the Twitter, if you pay for Twitter, like the $12 a month, right, whatever it is, then you can monetize your tweets. You and I don't pay for it, so we don't know anything about this.
Right. Okay.
So now people are buying accounts.
Right, but should we be?
Maybe. It's money. Shelby's telling me it's basically ad money.
Okay. Well, whatever. Yeah, I don't even give a shit enough.
Yeah, like if you get a lot of engagement on your tweets, but you have to pay for Twitter each month, then you can make money. If you don't pay for it, you can't make money off of it. But the point is, when it was the old Dove Kleiman account, people had major issues with it. And all that Dove Kleiman account was doing was putting out regular NFL news. Now, this Dove Kleiman account's like going crazy, posting all this crazy stuff. And it's funny, I actually sent the guy a DM a couple of months ago because he posted something on his account from something on this podcast. It was like, I don't remember who it was, but he said, like, so-and-so says this via awful announcing. And I said, I direct message him because he follows me. Oh, here it is. I just found it. Any reason why you hat tip awful announcing for the Jim Nance quote when it comes from my podcast? And they didn't write back. So
yeah, I don't know if it's a real person or it's certainly not a reputable person.
Well, now it is a real person because that person's making money off all the tweets.
I just don't understand how this works. All these sites that aggregate, like, what are we doing here? How can social media be a reliable news source?
Well, my issue is not with Dove Kleiman. My issue is for the people who follow him and then retweet him into my feed every day. Those are the people I have the issue with.
Yeah, I think I blocked him or muted him a while ago, so I didn't have that issue. But I'm just saying in general, like, how are we at a point where those sites are becoming popular or whatever? Those Twitter accounts, I don't care. It's not like a jealousy thing. I really don't give a fuck. I don't care if I had zero followers. It does nothing for me. So
I know that.
Yeah, I could tell you flat out. It's not that. But I just don't understand how, you know, how many times people outside of the business text me shit that they think is actual news. And I'm like, no, that's not real. That's fake. Or AI generated, or, oh my God, did you hear what Anthony Edwards said? Or did you see this? Oh, look at this post on Facebook. And I'm like, no, that's bullshit.
That's so funny you said that, because I stopped by my aunt and uncle's house a few days ago. And my uncle said, is it true that Travis Kelce said he wants to be traded from the Chiefs because of the Harrison Bucker comments?
Yeah, right.
So I'm like, I said, I'm not leaving your house till I know where you saw that. I have to know where you saw that. And you know what his answer was?
Facebook.
Goddamn motherfucking Facebook. I always say I don't respect people who use Facebook. That's why, right there. Bingo.
Right. So now I got friends that use Facebook that are texting me this. And I'm like, luckily I'm smart enough to know that all of this is bullshit. And if it seems, you know, too good to be true, it is. Like, come on now.
Well, listen, this goes into a deeper discussion that I don't want to get into because it ends up tying into politics, but nobody believes anything is real anymore.
It's not. Most of it's not.
Right. But then when something is real, they go fake news. No one knows what, I actually rephrase it. Nobody can differentiate between what we can, because we're in the business. But no one can. Regular people who aren't on Twitter all day like us, they can't differentiate what's real and what's not real.
Right. So, this is a major problem. No?
Of course it is. Where have you been? But you don't pay attention to politics. So that's why you don't.
No,
yeah,
but
it's a major problem.
But it's
a major
problem. Even a problem in the sports landscape to a certain extent. Not as big of a deal.
But that
as
stuff
college.
Is harmless.
Yeah. I guess, big, yeah.
Well, there's a big difference between like someone thinking like Travis Kelce wants a trade and someone thinking Hillary Clinton was selling babies out of the back of a pizza place. Like one is dangerous, one is not. So there's, right. you know, it's a little bit of a difference. So,
right.
But yeah, the bottom line is, I mean, I see with my nieces. My nieces get all this bad information on TikTok. It's crazy. TikTok is the worst for bad information.
I know. Yeah. Meanwhile, my wife's reading that. Like, I just can't. I can't take it anymore. I hope that one day somebody somewhere can come in and blow up social media. All of it. Just get
all
rid
of it.
Of all
can
of
we keep it?
It?
What about can we keep Instagram?
I mean, I don't even like that, but that's fine. I guess.
What's your issue with the IG?
I guess if there's one that would be one that could survive it, I guess Instagram is okay with that. It's not as volatile, or at least I don't see it.
No, it's not. It's not.
Nobody goes there for news, really, right?
No, everyone's nice on Instagram. That's my experience with it.
I don't know about that, but anyway.
Well,
I blocked comments.
Well, because you post videos of the show,
right? So I
here's
blocked,
the thing: if you have a sports opinion, doesn't matter what the opinion is. If you have a sports opinion, a million of people are going to hate you. That's just the
fair
way.
Enough.
It is.
Fair enough. Which is fine. Right. Like you want just people to react, which is good. But I blocked people from commenting on Instagram, and then like the fan tweets a video, tags me in it of Sergeant Slaughter when he was in studio a few weeks back. Actually, months ago now.
How
and
does
I
this
still
video get,
get
you shit?
Because they can now comment on there. Like, I still get people that will come and comment on the Sergeant Slaughter video from months
about,
ago.
Like, your Mets take.
Yeah, exactly.
I
you don't know
it.
What
okay.
you're talking about.
They're not commenting on the Sergeant Slaughter interview.
No.
Okay,
no.
I got it. They found a workaround. Oh, my God. That's too funny.
Yeah, I'll get a little notification, and I just immediately block. See ya. Bye.
You can't tweet anything about sports without people. Like, it doesn't matter what the sports take is. People are going to come. Like, it's just crazy.
Right.
All right. Last thing I want to do. So, you know how I've shared, like, these ridiculous restaurant stories the last few weeks? I got charged at a diner in Connecticut for a, what was it? Sanitary inspection fee. Right. Then I got charged for grated cheese at a New York City restaurant. So this did not happen to me, but a Twitter follower who listens to the podcast every week, Ralph Horowitz, sent me a tweet basically playing off those two stories saying, have you seen this? And it was a story about a restaurant in Australia. This is not in the United States yet, but it'll be coming soon. Charge someone $1 to toast their muffin.
Oh my God. Come on, man. Oh, you want that toasted? It's $1.
If you want that corn muffin toasted. So it actually.
That makes no sense. Yeah, what? We charge you for electricity to use the toaster? Come on.
And the muffin was $7 too. He sent me it's a link to an Australian 7 News Melbourne. A Melbourne cafe has been slammed after charging $1 heating fee for a muffin. The diner story is sparking a fierce debate on social media. There should be no debate. And then, so I wrote the guy back. I wrote Ralph Horowitz back and said, thanks for sending this. Very funny. Anyways, my pleasure. Payback. Thanks for your awesome pod and particularly for bringing Sal into my listening world. His take that the New Year's Eve ball reminds him of death may be the best all time of any topic. So there you go. we went from the $1 charge to toast the muffin to Sal telling everyone that the dropping of the ball on New Year's Eve reminds him of death.
Yeah, everybody else is celebrating, and I'm thinking, like, you morons, you're only getting closer to the inevitable conclusion.
All right, how's everything with the house? Everything good?
Yeah, all good. All good so far. I was thinking about this. I have to have you over at some point. We're getting close to being ready to, you know, have some guests over. So soon.
People aren't gonna want me to interview your wife if I come over. I'll bring a microphone and a tape recorder.
Right now we're in pretty good zone, so I think now would be the time to do it. That would be freaking hilarious.
She's over year 700. You know, I heard from a lot of people too. We'll read reviews maybe next week, but I heard from multiple people who said they've had the same issue with the tickets that you had, where you buy them and then they say, oh, not available. I've never had that experience. I don't buy a lot of tickets. You buy way, way more than me. But
I don't even do it that much anymore. Yeah. I think it's the big event that could screw you. Like, people told me Elton John overseas, the WrestleMania, and then me with Game 7. Like, a normal ticket, you're not going to get screwed out of. But those big events, man.
That's crazy. I've never had that. I've always gotten the ticket, like, the second I buy it.
Yeah.
All right, Tal. Hang in there. Right. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.
All right. Talk to you later. Right.
Bye. All right. My many thanks to Charles Barkley. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit that subscribe button. My thanks to Sal Licata. My thanks to you for listening. If you missed recent episodes, check them out in the archives. Last week, we had Kevin Harlan, also from TNT, on the program. Mike North, the NFL VP of Broadcast Planning, was on the show 2 weeks ago to discuss all things 2024 NFL schedule and how it gets made. Katie Nolan was on the show 3 weeks ago. So if you missed any of those, check them out. Subscribe to the pod, leave a review on Apple, rate it on Apple, and we'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.